The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. We played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said, 'He is possessed by a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, 'Look, he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is vindicated by all her children." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most useful ideas I ever learned came from St. Thomas Aquinas, who once said, "The intellect is motivated by the will." You want to understand other people? You want to understand psychology? Do you want to understand your own struggles in the spiritual life? Do you want to understand yourself? Learn that phrase as well as you possibly can. The intellect is motivated by the will. It's a fancy way of saying that in human behavior, wanting comes first, thinking comes second. And people will deceive themselves daily and many times a day in order to justify to themselves something that they want. The intellect is motivated by the will. Sometimes you wonder, maybe some crazy dictator leaps up to power and you say to yourself, "What were people thinking?" Or maybe you look at the crazy ideas, moral ideas, collapsed ideas, you know, all around the world, especially in the last decade. And you say to yourself, "What are people thinking?" And the fact of the matter is, the thinking comes second. Somebody somewhere is getting what they want. And that's the reason why people act the way they act. One of the clearest ways I've ever seen this in my own priesthood is in trying to explain to people the moral teachings of the Catholic Church with regard to sexual behavior. Some of the clearest and simplest things you could possibly understand. You know, you talk to somebody about, you know, not living together before you're married, or you talk to them about the whys of what we teach on contraception. And they look at you like a cow in a stall. Like you're describing the most difficult thing. And then you tell them about something like the Eucharist or the Trinity, sublime and difficult to understand, and they accept it with no trouble whatsoever. What's the difference? Difference is not in the mind. The difference is in the will. And that explains so very much, such that when it's God's will that you want, everything makes perfect sense. All of your reasons make perfect sense. Truth is symphonic. For everything else, we concoct ideas to justify to ourselves what we already want. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, "What do I say about this generation? Like children in the marketplace. I played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. I sang you a dirge, but you didn't weep. John the Baptist didn't eat, didn't drink. He said, 'Hey, he's possessed.' I come eating and drinking and say, 'Yeah, he's a glutton.'" Jesus knows that our mental gymnastics are very often just a thin veil to justify what we already want. So, that being said, you don't want to live like that. You're showing up at Mass on a Wednesday afternoon. You don't want to live like that. Maybe, to some degree, we all are living like this. Maybe you want to get out of living like that. What do you do? What do you do? Two things. Number one, listen to the church. Number two, learn about the lives of the saints. It's really very simple. The church teaches us firmly, faithfully, and without error the truth that God wants us to know. Fascinating first reading today, St. Paul's letter to Timothy. Little line in that in which St. Paul tells Timothy that the church is the foundation and the bulwark of truth. A little something to remember. 1 Timothy 3:15. Sometimes somebody will come to you, they'll say, "Where's that in the Bible?" And you'll answer back, "1 Timothy 3:15. The church is the foundation and the bulwark of truth. And it's in the Bible. A little something to remember, just as an aside. The second thing to do is understand the lives of the saints, because, you know, when you study the teachings of the church, it can seem kind of dusty. Document here, papal encyclical there. It's all true, but saints are the teaching of the church with flesh and bones, and it comes to life, and you see it in their lives. Like our own saint for the day, St. Robert Bellarmine, felt particularly compelled to help the poor and live as simple a life as he possibly could. And, you know, he gave away all of his furniture. He stripped the wallpaper off of his walls so he could have more to give to the poor. There's beautiful consistency in that. What about you? God's tugging at your heart right now. He's calling you to something. It takes a certain amount of discernment to realize it, but hopefully you've already realized this. The closer you come to the Lord, the more he asks of you until you belong completely to him. But as we come closer and closer and closer to him, be careful. Be honest. Strive not to justify mediocrity to yourself and call it God's will. It's a lifelong struggle, because particularly among religiously devout people, there is a temptation to be self-congratulatory. Hey, look at me, everybody. I'm in church on a Wednesday afternoon. What a great guy I am. Pat self on back. Not like all those other people. Not like all those other people. A very strong temptation to be self-congratulatory. Hold you right in your place. Nobody advances as long as they think that way. But Jesus says, wisdom is vindicated by your children. What's that mean? Well, what's wisdom? It's the discernment of what's good and true put into action. That's what it means. So be careful. Be careful not to make excuses. Jesus does not expect you to be worthy, but he does indeed expect you to be willing. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Robert Bellarmine, pray for us.